Okay. Hi, everybody. Can you hear me? I have my fancy mic on tonight. I want to make sure that you all can hear me okay. Hit me up in the chat. Let me know if you can hear me. Hi. Hear you. Gotcha. Awesome. Great. Thank you. Thank you. How's everybody? We are here for a super fast 30-minute Q&A on the Thought Bootcamp. Okay? So we are in week four now. We've talked about the Think, Feel, Do cycle. We have talked about thought babies and how they come from a belief system that we consider the mama. And she spouts these little bitty, you know, not so nice thought babies at us periodically. And then we had a day in the life of old shitty and how these thought babies, examples of how these thought babies come up. Then last week, Judith went over some thought laddering techniques with you. And that is basically taking those little thought babies and saying, how can I wiggle out of this just a little bit? How can I start to change what I'm thinking? And then the last part of this is practicing versus doing. And so that's what I'm going to go over here just for a minute. Hello, Lee from Australia. I'm going to go over practice versus do because I had to, you know, it took me a minute to get this concept. And I was like, Corinne, I just don't get this. Can you tell me what you're trying to say here? And she said, think about it this way. Now, remember, Corinne was a band kid. Did y'all know that? Do you know Corinne played the flute? My kids were band kids. And all that rehearsal time, all the marching time in the parking lot, that's all practice. That's getting in your reps. It's figuring out how you're going to show up. How are you going to hold your instrument? What are you going to say? Practicing your music. And then showing up game time to march in the halftime show is the doing part. So all of those things that you prepare yourself with these new thoughts with, help you get the practice reps in so that when the old thought comes in, you already have the new thought ready. Things like these sticky notes that we put all over the house. Things like reminders on your phone. Setting up accountability. Journaling about your new thoughts. All these things. If you have not printed out the examples of practicing versus doing, they are in your course. And I'm just reading from them because they're really so easy, okay? There's so many easy ways to practice new thoughts. I have an affirmation wall right across the desk from me. I can see them. They're on big post-it notepads stuck to my closet door. And, you know, it's things like, I keep showing up and leveling up. I'm a really good coach. I am trusted so I can trust myself. I'm here to serve. I'm all in. Let's do this. These are the things I practice every day, these new thoughts. Well, they're not new anymore, but these thoughts that I practice every day, because the more you practice them, the more you're going to believe them. So, what questions do you have for me about anything in Thought Bootcamp? I will hit you up. I will answer anything there is to know. While you're populating the Q&A, I promised you, if you saw my Facebook post, I promised you something I came up with this month that I'm super proud of, okay? I was doing this on a call with one of my private clients, one of my one-on-ones, and I was so proud of it that I thought, I need to put this in the Q&A when I do it for that last week, because this is where the rubber meets the road. I hope you guys can see this. All right. So I have pulled over my whiteboard for anyone on the replay, and at the very top, I have old shitty. Okay, remember old shitty, so those little bitty thought babies that you have. The little bitty thought babies that you have all day long. You can do three things with them, y'all. Number one, you can ignore it, right? So I was talking on the relationships call last night about how I spent a lot of time in the legislature in my old job. And if you know anything about civics or about social studies or about politics, you know that the legislature passes laws, right? And sometimes somebody will introduce a law and somebody else will come in and say, I don't think we need to vote on that. I move that one to the table, Okay. That's what ignoring an old shitty is. It's saying, you know, you're there. I see you, but I'm not going to act on you. We're just going to move that one on out of the way. Okay. So in old shitty terms, we're just putting on the nose plugs, right? We're going to let that shitty diaper be there. We're just not going to smell it. We're going to put on our nose plugs. The second thing you can do down this side is you can actually believe old shitty. You can let it run your model. You can let it cause a feeling. You can let it cause an action. You're basically sitting in your poopy diaper and playing around. Diddling. I think that's what Corinne says, right? Diddling in your diaper. That's what you're doing when you believe old shitty. You're just letting it run the day. Nobody wants that, right? Nobody wants that. Number three is probably the best thing to do. It's to redirect old shitty. This is a diaper change. This is where we see old shitty in there and we start to work on it. Last week's lesson, right? I notice I'm thinking old shitty. Old shitty's here and I notice it's something I think. This is where you actually write old shitty down. 1, 2, 3. And then you write down a response to old shitty or a redirect where you add one of those openers or closers that Corinne talked about in the video where you say, sometimes I think old shitty. I notice I'm thinking old shitty. One day I'm not going to think old shitty anymore. Or one day I'm not going to believe old shitty. So you write down the thought. Then right next to it, you write down the redirect. And you keep these with you. You read them every day. That's part of practicing. You read them every day until they're committed to your memory so that when you hear them come in, when they come up, you're ready to answer them with your new thought. Okay? I was kind of proud of this. Three things to do with old shitty. Ignore it, believe it, or redirect it. Put your nose plugs on. Sit in the poopy diaper and play around, or change the diaper, throw a baby wipe on, clean it up, right? Pretty cool, right? Okay, who has questions for me? We're here for 30 minutes. We're ready to roll. Let's see. Sarah wants little ladder steps for judgy people. I need to work on tiny steps. Okay. So you have a thought that people are judgy, right? What if I were to tell you everyone is judgy? That's part of what we do. Oh, I have sunshine, Donna. It's part of what we do in life is we judge things. We have opinions about things. Your opinion about anything is a judgment, right? Yeah. I mean, seriously, that's what it is. That's what we do. So if you have a thought that someone is super judgy, why? I would look at why you want to change the thought, first of all. Why can't you just say, well, that person is just judgy? Is it because you are internalizing what they're saying? Are they judgy about you? Or do you just want to say, sometimes I think they're judgy? You know, is it your judgments of their being judgy? Right? So, you know, everybody gets to have an opinion, and you get to have an opinion about them. So if your opinion about them is what you're wanting to up-level, I would use some of those openers and closers that Corinne mentioned in her video. She also has them. I'm going to open up there's also a little worksheet in the course that I'm going to open up real quick, because I believe it has some examples as well. So to find the course, go to Weight Loss Resources, Bonus Courses, Thought Bootcamp. Let's see what that little worksheet says. How to ladder your thought babies. So you could add, sometimes I think. You could put on the tail end, this person is judgy, is a thought I keep thinking. You could say, I'm learning how to think about people as other than judgy. You could say, it's possible that I might think they're judgy. There's little bitty ways like that to wiggle out of a belief, to wiggle out of an opinion or a judgment about someone else. So tell me, Sarah, if you said, oh, wait, let me pop out your chat because I see you talking to me down there. All right. So Sarah says, I've got that printed out and I'm working on learning how to change my thoughts. Yeah, you just make little bitty changes at a time. So you'll add one of those openers or closers to your thought, and then you'll practice it using all these, you know, whatever techniques you want to use. Writing it over and over is always a great idea. You'll practice it until you need to use it. The more you practice it, the more believable it will become. Once you believe that one, then you level it up just a little bit more. That's why they call it a ladder, because at the bottom you have your thought that you're wanting to change, and at the top you have your ideal pie in the sky thought, and there could be lots of rungs in between. Okay? So Dawn says, old shitty has been working overtime on me lately. I'm pushing through with new thoughts and not believing it, but it's still been a struggle. Any other tips? Yeah, I would hit the thought ladder, Dawn. Seriously. I would not try to jump too far into roses and cupcakes land, you know, daisies and unicorns. I would just say, yeah, and that's a thought I'm thinking right now. Remind yourself. That's a, you know, it's just telling yourself that that's a thought takes it out of the absolute of a belief. So let's say I have a thought that I'm too fat. I'm just too fat. That feels really strong and believable to me in the moment. But if I tell myself, sometimes I think I'm too fat, it takes it out of that absolute, you know, black and white area that absolutely I believe this, and tells my brain that it's actually a thought. And I think that's what is so key when you say, sometimes I think, or I notice I'm thinking this about myself today. Does that help? Does that help, Dawn? You can let me know. Yes, awesome. Okay, Christy. Corinne said in the doing part to stop verbalizing our bullshit. Yeah. Is that stop complaining out loud to others about our shitty internal thoughts? How about stop saying it out loud to yourself? Okay, that's a big one. If you say it, whatever you say over and over, especially out loud, your brain is going to hear. You have now engaged your ears instead of just thinking it. And what you hear, you remember. Think about it. So if you're saying crappy things to yourself out loud, you have a higher chance of believing them for a longer period of time because your ears are engaged. That's why you say nice things to yourself out loud, or you ladder up out loud, or you write. Writing, y'all, is such a powerful tool because your brain can't move. Wait, your hand doesn't move as fast as your brain does. So when you write things out, your brain has to slow down and pay attention. So that's why you journal. That's why you write what your new thoughts are. That's why you say things out loud that you want to remember, and why you don't say things out loud that you don't want to commit to memory. So I hope that answers your question, Dawn. You'll have to let me know. Diane says, uh-oh, there goes another thought. My mind is a chatterbox. So is that. I mean, mine is too. Mine has a lot of thoughts, like 60,000 a day, y'all. So does yours. Our minds are chatterboxes. There's nothing wrong with that. We just get to decide. That's a beautiful thing. We get to decide what we believe. Okay? I've said this 100 times. I don't know if y'all have heard it or not, but I'm going to say it 101. The day Corinne told me I didn't have to believe everything I thought my head was going to explode. Everything you think is not true. You know, you're giving yourself down the road all the time. You're telling yourself ugly things. Just because your brain says it doesn't mean it's true. It's just something it's queuing up. It's just words. You get to decide whether or not what your brain says is something that you want to believe. I mean, think about it. Where do you have that power in life other than in your own head? It's really pretty neat. So yeah, your brain can be lying to you, or it can just be throwing up words that you have allowed it to throw up for such a long time that they feel like truths. Now you're just challenging them. You're questioning them. You know, you can write down, let's say you journal tonight and you write down 15 sentences. You can go through each one of those sentences with your logical brain and say, is that the truth? Is that something I want to believe? Is that something I would actually let create a feeling and an action for me? You know, that's, you get to decide that. That's the beautiful thing, because you're the only one in your head. You're the only one in your brain. So you get to decide what actually gets, you know, gets to create the story for you. All right, let's see what else we got. When I'm feeling a feeling, is it a ladder thought to tell myself it's okay to feel that feeling? Sure. Sure. If you in the past have been avoiding feelings, you know, your thought might be, I can't feel this. I don't know. I this is intolerable. This is uncomfortable. You could tell yourself, it's okay, you know, I'm willing to try to feel this feeling. I'm ready to work on feeling my feelings. I am okay with feeling my feelings. See how they change just a little bit. Going straight to it's okay to feel that feeling might be a big jump, but you might tell yourself, you know what? I'm willing to give this a shot. Or Corinne says, I can't die from a feeling. That would be an interesting ladder thought, right? All right, Anonymous. I've been sitting in poop since I began. I cannot get to journaling. Saying this, I've lost 30 pounds since joining. Oh, well, why? Okay. So you've lost 30 pounds, but you're sitting in poop. I don't get it. Maybe you wouldn't be sitting in poop if you journaled about it and decided what you wanted to think. That's what Thought Bootcamp is all about. You know, in the very beginning, Corinne tells you, get out your planner. I just had mine here. It looks like it's in the other room. Get out your planner. Pick 30 days of journal prompts, one topic, and get to writing. Answer the questions. That'll tell you what it is you need to work on. Especially when you read them back. You can decide, yeah, I'm all in with that, or what the heck was I thinking when I wrote that? See the difference? Okay, McLean says, I would like to have a thought that promotes feeling clarity when my brain is going buck wild on all the things going on in my thoughts, all the tasks I want to get done for the day, etc., because calm helps me with choices for health. Okay, so here's what I would do, McLean. Is that I am a list maker. I would write down every single thing in my head that I think needs to get done. Okay? So write all of them down. Most of them are going to be thoughts. Okay? But write them all down and then look at them with a critical eye and say, does this have to be done now? In what priority can I put that? See, here's what your brain is like. Maybe I'm showing my age, but you know those old those old movies with the gypsies in them and the fortune tellers, and they have the crystal balls and it's all that swirly, cloudy, you know, muck inside. That's what your brain is. If you're not journaling and if you're not managing your mind and practicing new thoughts and directing your brain, you got all that swirly muck, like it's what's inside a crystal ball. If you journal, though, the crystal ball becomes clearer, because not only are you getting the thoughts out and questioning them, you are taking a critical eye and looking at them, and you're cleaning out the little dark closets and the corners of your brain that are hiding the old shitties. They're just getting ready for them to just pop on out. So, yeah, Roz says, why can't we use the pensive Dumbledore has? It's the same thing. You know the pensive, you know, in the Harry Potter movie with all that swirly stuff? That's it. So that's what I would do, McLean. I would make a list. And then I would ask my logical brain, that's nice and slow, what of this is really, truly important? And then prioritize and stick to your decision. That brings me calm. Deanna, is this how I could model this thought? Thought, my stomach sticks out, feeling sad. Do keep practicing that thought. Okay, I think that's mixed, Deanna. When you feel sad, do you keep practicing or do you beat yourself up? Or do you ignore the problem? Right? So make sure your do line reflects what you would actually do when you feel the F line. Okay? Then the second model is thought, I am learning that I have a stomach. Feeling neutral. Do practice accepting myself. Yeah. Yeah, that would work. That second one would work. But do you have to learn that you have a stomach? You do have a stomach. We all have a stomach, right? You could say, I'm learning to accept my body. I am learning to how to create a better body image. That's what camp is all about, right? A little sidebar. Have y'all signed up for camp? Body image, right? Self-talk, self-care. What does she say? Mm-hmm. It's going to be good. Going to be super good. Penny, when other people are struggling, I tend to get anxious and take on their emotions. I don't know if that makes sense. Sure, I get it. I want to make it better for that person, but I know that is their model. What should I do when I feel like stressing out over other people's problems? I would just remind myself that I love them. I want them to feel better, and I can be there for them. That's all. You can't, you're right. You intellectually, you're right. You can't make them feel better, but you can be there for them. You can help them, but they're going to feel better when they're ready to feel better. I mean, that's really it. You know, there are a lot of people who identify as empathic, and that's fine. But just remember, you are, what is really happening, if you slow down the process, is that somebody thinks or says something to you, and you have a thought about that. Okay? And your thought creates a feeling. And many times, when they say something to you, and you agree with them in your thought line, your thought is the same as theirs, you will feel the same feeling that they do. Okay? So that's really what happens. So if you don't want to take on the same feeling, then I think my thought would be something like, I understand what they're thinking, but I'm going to discern for myself how I want to feel. I think that's what I would say. I love the word discernment. I use it a lot. It feels like deciding, but a little bit lower key, you know, like a thoughtful decision is a discernment. What do you think? You agree? All right. What else we got going on here? Robin says it's taken her several years to stop journaling, and now she's been journaling for years. I was the same way. I tried to journal as a teenager. It had a little diary with a little lock on it and stuff. Never could get into it. Now I know the days I don't journal. You know, if I get too busy and I come in here or give myself some excuse not to journal, then I know it. I just know it. And it doesn't work out well for me. All right, you guys, is there anything else? Anna says, my issue with journaling is that I wouldn't want anyone in my family to read it. Not that they would on purpose, but they could come across it. I'm used to keeping my thoughts to myself and not pouring them out. You know, I hear that a lot. I hear that there are a lot of you who are worried their partners or their kids or their roommates or whoever is going to read your journal. I just want you to really think about that. What's the worst thing that can happen if they do? One, they're going to know your honest thoughts. And two, do you really, really think they're going to take the time to read your journal? I leave mine on my bedstand. And I've decided if Ken reads it, you know, he's going to know my honest thoughts. And if I'm upholding my part of the relationship, I'm giving him my honest thoughts anyway. And if he ever has read it, I don't know about it. And it's been sitting on my bedside table for about 7 years now. So you can go digital. You can do, you know, you can protect it. You can put it in a drawer. You can do all those things. But think about it. Don't use that as an excuse to not journal, because the benefits of journaling far, far outweigh anything else. One more question. Can you recommend a good mantra for a post-it note to reflect work overwhelm and anxiety? So one of my teachers at Life Coach School, her name is Bev, gave me this one. And I can hear her voice when she says this. She says, "I'm all in. Let's do this. I'm all in. Let's do this." So when you're at work or you're at home, you're all in, right? You're ready to do the job. So let's do this. Because one step into action takes you out of overwhelm. So ask yourself, am I all in here? Okay, I am. Let's do it. What's the first thing? That's what I would suggest, Natalie. Should the 60-day journal have 60 journal sheets? Nope, should have 30. We didn't want to make it too big, too thick. You can always buy one of these cute little journals. I think this was $5 at Michael's, 120 pages. Oh, it's almost empty. 120 pages, $5. You can always buy one of those. We only put 30 in the 60-day, in the No BS Planner. Anything else, you guys? Got 3 more minutes. Anything else? Let's see what's in the chat. I'm the same with my journal. My journal just reflects my honest thoughts, and if someone is going to snoop on them, that's them. That's on them. Good for you. Yeah, Roz says back to school sales composition books are 50 cents. Absolutely. I'm challenging myself to fill up my journal pages in my 60-day planner. I think that'll be fun. I think it's a fun challenge for myself. If I fill them up, the worst thing that can happen is that I get to use my little $5 Michael's book. All right, you guys, I don't see any other questions. So you guys must have Thought Bootcamp on lock. It's a good one. If you have not done the Thought Bootcamp, you can do it like over and over and over. Just really journal, see if you can find your old shitties, and then tie them back to that belief system that you really want to go on. Because if, as you clean up your little bitty old shitties, you're going to start to put dents in that belief system. It's probably one of the best courses Corinne has done. Absolutely. All right. You guys have a great evening. Thanks for being here, and I will see you soon. Bye.